and he's right on time. He's right on time. He's right on time. Is there anybody here tonight? Is there anybody here tonight that know he's on time? That know he's on time. Well, tell somebody. You ought to tell somebody. The man is right on.
Good morning. This is Reverend Arnetta Carpenter, and I'm going to begin our session today with a review of the Bible study that we have been studying here. The title that I'm going to talk to you about is Getting to Know Jesus Better So We Can Be More Like Him. And I'm going to read a scripture that starts this lesson off, then I'm going to go ahead continue on. It's going to be from Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and it's when Jesus was in the synagogue. And I'm going to read this a passage for you, and then we'll go forward. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And as I went over this, I also went to Mark and Luke concerning how we want to know Jesus better, and in order to know him better, we have to be more like him. And we start the Bible study with Jesus passed on his way and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And we know that Matthew was a tax collector. And Jesus told him to follow me. So Matthew did. He got up and he followed Jesus. And now it happened that as Jesus sat at the table in that house, there were many tax collectors and sinners. And they sat down with him and his disciples. And then there were a group of people in Old Testament times. There was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and usually people that think they are better than us. Some of them also, I think you had, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure, but you had to be clean. There was something about them. There were also those that knew the law, that were very hard about the law. And they just could not get over the fact that Jesus is sitting with a tax collector, who, of course, was employed by the Romans. And he sat with Matthew, one of the 12 apostles, and the other gospel accounts identify him as Levi, but we know him as Matthew. But But while he's there in this room, and he's sitting with these, I want to call them something else, but I'll just call the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But we can also kind of relate to them to certain people of today that basically think they are better than us. They have higher positions. And he's just surrounded by these people. And it occurred to me, too, you know, why were they there? Why are they there? And the separate ones, okay, we'll talk about the Pharisees. Their custom was to avoid those who were unclean. And they truly want to know why Jesus is there, but I think basically they wanted to know. They've heard about this man, and they want to know exactly what is going on. But what I have learned from this Bible study, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. When Jesus is in the midst and he's with you, he can change anything. He can make, and which he ended up doing, making Matthew one of his disciples. But it was just occurred to me also when we put this to today's living with all of us, all the things that have been going around at the nation with those people that are unhoused, and the unhoused now, people that are homeless are now considered unhoused. But anyway, it made me think about those people who are out in the street and do not know the Lord. Some of them have some mental issues, of course. Some of them are just out there probably because they don't want to live with their relatives. But it made me really understand that even though they are not what we think they should be, and as you know, Christians, we kind of forget that what we're supposed to be doing as Christian people. And as me, as not only as an associate minister, a missionary of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, I have to see them in a different light. I know about 2 weeks ago, a lady came from the hospital to me, and it was like the end of the day. It was pouring rain. When she came from the hospital, she came in the door, and she was soaking wet, and she still had her hospital gown on, and half of it was missing. She begged for a ride. She was crying. She begged for a ride to get to her home, and she told me where she lived. And immediately, I didn't even think about it, but I couldn't imagine somebody being out in that rain, half-dressed, and needing help. And I immediately stood up, got my car keys, and basically she only lived about 4 or 5 blocks from here, and I took her home. And then she thanked me when I took her to her home. And I just wanted to say at that time what it did for me. It has given me a different light, because that could have been me. That could be any one of us. And it showed Jesus sitting in this at the house with Matthew, and talking to them, and he's telling them that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. And he also says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I guess that's what what the whole thing means to me, is we are all sinners in need of God, need of somebody to continue to save our souls and give us a clean heart. So that's what I just wanted to end this Bible study with, to understand that there are people in the world who do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and it's up to us to show them the way, to help guide them to the kingdom of God, and to help make their lives better. And I was pleased that Pastor asked. I was a little bit ambivalent, and then after I read it, it went deep into my soul and taught me that I now have to be one of those people who constantly help the lost. Thank you. Ooh. 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 Ooh.
I've had trouble on every hand. So many days I could barely stand. My hands got tired of holding on. Felt like I just could not go on. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. There've been times when I could not see. I had to cry myself to sleep. I've had people to walk away. I've been put down for my mistakes. And there've been times when I felt alone. I've had to walk some lonely roads. But every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go, God has kept me. Every now and then I wanted to throw the towel in. Didn't want to cry, didn't want to pray. Throw my hands in the air, just walk away. God never left me, never let me go. His voice and mercy always held me close. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go, God has kept me. Oh, God kept me.
God has kept me.
Yes, He kept me.
Yes, He kept me.
God kept me.
God has kept me.
Yes, He kept me.
Yes, He kept me.
Sometimes I'll stray away. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me.
Blessings be from God our Father, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, present, very presence of God in our midst. As Reverend Carpenter has indicated, our church theme and the theme of our Bible study series during this time is getting to know Jesus better so that we may become more like Him. In keeping with that theme and challenging all of us who hear the word to respond in the same manner of desiring to know Him better and being like Him, I draw your attention to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. Verses 27 to 29, a scripture that is paralleled in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. And on this wise, in the Gospel of Mark, it reads, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' They answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.'" In the Gospel of Matthew, it adds, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I want to talk about the word on the street, the word on
every now and then, parents will have a sit-down talk with their children to see if they are on the right track. They want to see if the lessons they have been teaching as parents have been sticking, and find out if they have to tighten up on stuff the child may be bringing home from other people and other places. Of course, these days, because so many young people and adults alike are glued to their television sets, computer screens, and smartphones, surfing the net, street has made its way into our very living rooms and family dwellings. The world's streets are wider than they have ever been before. And if you don't want to get lost on the superhighway, out in cyberspace somewhere, you need to have some convictions and some principles, some truths that you can stand on and live by, no matter how much you see the world change around you. The disciples of Jesus probably felt like they had been caught up in a whirlwind. Jesus swept them away from their secular occupations and gave them spiritual vocations. In a flash, they went from fishing for fish to fishing for the souls of men and women. They went from collecting taxes to spreading divine teaching. They went from obscurity into the limelight, all because Jesus, from a little village called Nazareth, said, "Come, follow me." Life hasn't been the same since they met him and gave up their former lives for him. It is Luke who is deeply touched by the outreach of Jesus to include outcasts, minorities, and strangers into the family of the kingdom of God. Jesus has spent a great deal of quality time teaching his disciples by parables, by precepts and examples. And when he thought them to be well-grounded and equipped, when he thought them to be sufficiently empowered by his own spirit, his attitude, and his disposition, he sent them out to take the streets, commanding them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons and devils, just like he was doing. He didn't just give them spiritual power. He gave them street sense, too. He said to them, "I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He warned them that they would have to live in a way not always approved of by others, that they would go from town to town, and not always be warmly received. Some places they would find peace. Other places they would have to shake the dust off their feet and try again somewhere else. You see, Jesus had a lot more street sense than we give him credit for. He knew he wasn't going to win over everybody. He knew some hearts weren't going to melt. He knew every town was not going to sing his praises, roll out the red carpet, and be thankful to him for telling the truth. He wanted his disciples braced for the fact that if they followed him faithfully, they would not only share his glory, not only share his limelight, but share his sufferings and some dark nights of despair as well. Many of the Lord's disciples today are just church folk. They don't have much street sense. They all write so long as they can sing in the choir or strut down the aisles or pray at the altar or sit comfortably in their pew. But some of those same people live and say they don't know the Lord on the street. At home, no family devotion. On the job, no courageous word of witness. All out and about everywhere, but afraid to own the Lord's name. Too many church folk have no street sense. They think the life of a Christian is supposed to be easy. Any temptation, trial, or trouble makes them run for cover like a scared rabbit. Somebody talking about them. Somebody not calling their name. Somebody don't pat them on the back. Somebody don't say thank you. They ready to give up serving. Jesus said to his disciples as he sent them to the street, the disciple is not above his master. The servant is not above his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the prince of devils, and everything else except the child of God, what do you think they will call them of his household? After the disciples had been around the block a time or two and had opportunity to put faith into practice, Jesus had a little sit-down talk with them. It was time to find out how much of what he said to them, how much of what he showed them had really taken hold. Because you know for yourself how hard it is to be in the world and yet not of the world. You know what a challenge it is to be in and among people who are up to no good, and you dare to be different because you are a child of God. You know what a struggle it is to be full of the Spirit when the world is full of the devil. You came to get some good seed planted in you to the house of the Lord. You tuned in to hear an inspiring word from the gospel and rejoice in the Lord. But as Jesus declared in his parable of the sower, some of that seed falls on stony places where there is no depth of soil and it never takes root. Some of that seed falls on thorns, and the cares of the world, the deceitful glamour of riches, or just the trials and tribulations of everyday life, choke the word, and you never bear any fruit from having received it. In other words, having a good time in the house of the Lord is not sufficient in and of itself for meeting the challenges we face on the street. You got to let his word get deep inside. What we take away from the church house often gets lost on the street. As a matter of fact, it seems that shortly after Jesus told that parable and explained it to his disciples, he then sat down with them and inquired about how much of what he had been saying had stuck. How much of what he had been showing them had they been taking to heart? He said, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is? What's the word on the street?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." What, my friend, have you been hearing about Jesus? What have you heard on the street about our Lord? Is his name spoken with reverence in your presence? Or do people freely take his name in vain because they think that you don't mind? Is he acknowledged as Lord in your house, or is there barely a mention of him? What do folk on the street say about Jesus when they knock on your door to tell you about their faith? Have you been listening to the Muslims, the Nation of Islam in particular? Jesus is freely quoted by them, but only as a prophetic messenger, not as the Word made flesh, the Son of the living God. Have you heard what the Mormons say about him when they cart their briefcases around and bring their publication to your door? There has been a debate among their ranks about whether our Lord's atonement for our sins is indeed sufficient for our redemption, or whether something else needs to be done. Have you let any Jehovah Witnesses in from the street? They don't believe what Jesus did at Calvary, he did once and for all of us, or they wouldn't be limiting the saints of God to 144,000. The celebration is going to be bigger than that. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, blood bought, blood washed, saved, sanctified, and redeemed by his grace, you need to know Jesus well enough not to be turned all around, tripped up, and confused by how he's regarded on the street. Don't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Don't let somebody knocking on your door selling papers on the street promote to you an unsound doctrine. Don't let somebody on the street tell you more about Jesus than you can tell them. You are his disciples. You are the church of the living God. He gave you his gospel. He blessed you with his Holy Spirit so you would know him for yourself and you could witness for him anywhere and everywhere. After they gave Jesus the word on the street, likening him only to what they knew of other great men, Jesus asked them to tell what they knew, to tell how they felt, to report what they had learned for themselves. Peter, for once, was right on target. Usually, when Peter opened up his mouth, his foot went in it. But this time, when he opened his mouth, his spirit gave utterance. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Simon Barjona, blessed are you, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you." How do you know about Jesus? Is it because God the Father wrapped the Word up in flesh, sent him in the womb of a virgin, and allowed him to be born to walk among the souls of men? Yes, I am so glad that what I know about Jesus is not hearsay. I don't just know what my mama taught me, though I'm glad she taught me. I don't just know what my pastor taught me, though I'm glad he taught me. But what I know in my heart, because my Father in heaven taught me. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't let how he was treated on the street make him change his course. Because if he had not died on Calvary, you and I would still be in sin. If he had not died on Calvary, our own blood would be on our hands. But thank God for Jesus, who died on the cross. And he didn't die like others died. He died for no fault of his own. He died for no sin of his own. But he died with your sins and my sins on his shoulders. Yes, like Muhammad, he died. Like Buddha, he died. But I'm glad when he died, they set up guards around the tomb, day and night guarding the stone at the mouth of the tomb, so that not even a rumor would get out, for fear that the world would be turned upside down at the news that he lives. On Friday, they kept their watch. On Saturday, they kept their watch, but Saturday night, they fell asleep. And early, early Sunday morning, he got up like he said he would. And now the word on the street is that he lives. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know? He lives within my heart. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I'm his own. I got the word in my heart. I got his word in my soul, and I'm going to put it out on the street. Going to tell somebody. Going to tell somebody there's no high like being in him. Going to tell somebody I've seen for myself what God can do. Yes, the Son of God. He is alive and well. Now go run tell that. Go put that word on the street. My brothers and sisters, what a word it is. A word that will give you life. A word that will give you refreshing to your soul. That'll bring life, new birth, new life to your soul. It's a word of truth. It is a word of salvation. And if you believe it, receive it today by faith, you too we'll get to know him better and see him as he is, the Christ, the Savior, the one sent to take our sins away. If you let him do that for you, you're willing to let him come into your life, then open up the door and let him in, and he will bring with him everything you need for new life, for abundant life, for eternal life, for he is the promised one, He has been sent to knock on your door and to give you the gift of so great a salvation as the Father has planned through the Son. Will you receive him today? And if you do, saints, we are glad, happy glad, hallelujah glad, to have you join us as part of the family of faith of believers in God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit to draw us near to him in our own time. You can call the church at 909-887-2526 to let us know of your decision, 909-887-2526, and we'll be pleased to respond with whatever you need to come closer to the Lord, to know more about him, so that you can become more like him. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and bless you for the word that you have heard today and received in your heart. God bless and keep you. Amen.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name,
'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, Lord, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I wake it up and sometimes I wake it up. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Sing of this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Lord, I'm singing this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Oh, sometimes I get tired, sometimes I get weak. In the palm of your hand,
right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm weak,
right now, Lord.
And sometimes I'm tired, Lord,
right now, Lord.
And I need you to rock me,
right now, Lord.
In the cradle of your own, Lord. Sometimes I'm down and I'm low,
right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm sick in my body,
right, Lord.
Make it all right.
Right now,
I know you're right, Lord.
Right now,
and I know you will.
Right now,
oh, sometimes I get tired. Sometimes I get weak, yeah. But I'm calling on
you,
cause I need you.
Right now,
oh, right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Come on.
Right now.
I need you.
Right now.
Touch my heart.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
All right now, Lord, the Wardlaw Brothers, thank you so much. And I want to give a special thanks to Reverend Arnetta Carpenter for her Bible study prayer and review. And also the message, what a message by our very own Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. And now, folks, you can listen to Hope Is Alive each and every Sunday. It starts at 12 noon on the West Coast and 3 p.m. on the East. Now, check it out a little earlier than that. If you happen to be home, you can check out the Gospel Explosion. We can start a little early here on the East Coast, but check it out just before Hope Is Alive. Now, you can do that a myriad of ways. You can go to the website, to studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com, and let us know what you think about this program. We would love for you to leave a review. If you have an Apple device, just go to your Apple App Store and download studio.w. Android is simply Studio W. Available on Alexa as well as Google Play and Apple CarPlay. And now, I'm going to talk to Reverend Arnetta Carpenter. I have a few questions to ask her. Hey, good afternoon, Reverend Carpenter.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm good.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Hey, I know it was fired up in church today. The mission ministry had its Women in White service. Was that yesterday? That was yesterday,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Hey, yes, tell us about the work of the missions as it relates to ministry to women and other important work the ministry does.
Okay. I've been here at New Hope almost 40 years, but I think the best part of it is being a missionary. I truly take that word New Hope Missionary Baptist Church to heart because it does. We are a missionary Baptist church, and that means we go out and do what the Lord has asked us to do in Matthew 28:19-20. We are to do that. That is something we have to do, and I just find out that the older I get, the more I see that people need the Lord. And not because I think they ignore it. I think they just don't know. And it's our job as the Missionary Society, and we have 12 circles. We go out and we visit the sick. And we go, the weather has not allowed us, but we used to go out even through the streets, through around the church. The church neighborhood, and meet with people and talk to them, and we take care of the sick. We go visit the sick. We go to the hospitals. We do food. We take food to families who may not be able to have as much as, you know, we have. So it's about doing what the Lord wants us to do, and I really am so glad that Dr. Owens has got this theme, getting to know Jesus better so we can be more like him. Mm. Because Jesus fed those, you know, I mean, he did all those things that we need to be doing. And not on a small scale, but on a very large scale. And I think we were just happy because now we have younger women who are now taking up the mantle and going and doing the things that God wants us to do. And I truly enjoy being a missionary. I really do. And sometimes it wears on you, you know, but it wears on, as a minister and a Christian, it wears on you. You know, everything cannot be hunky-dory and everybody's happy all the time. But that's why God gives us trials and tribulations, so that we can walk and know who he is and be more like him.
Amen. It is a fabulous, fabulous ministry. And speaking of sacrifices, Dr. Owens proclaimed a fast today for the church that ends on Resurrection Sunday. Hey, tell us, what does that fast entail? Do you not eat anything for several days? How does that work?
No. In fact, a lot of the church, you know, and I have health issues. And so, I try to do the fast as it is given to, instructed for us. And that is to eat healthy. I normally only do one meal a day. I drink a lot of water. I start drinking juices that have no sugar in them. But I don't fast and not eat anything at all. but I really am cognizant of the fact that I have had two strokes and high blood pressure, so I'm very cognizant of what I have to do to keep healthy so I can continue to do the work of the Lord, because once, if I get too sick and laying flat on my bed, I can't do anything except pray, which is a good thing. But I still like to be out there doing things and helping people. Because I think this is God's world. And we need, there are people that need help that are not in a position to help themselves. So we have to keep ourselves healthy, do what is instructed to us by our doctors. And, I'll tell you that my mother lived to be 90 years old. She was a type 1 diabetic. And she died just as healthy as anything. The doctor said he had never seen a type 1 diabetic die with really nothing wrong. She just died. She just died. And she was 90 years old, but she took care of herself. All the things that she fixed for the family and my dad. My dad loved desserts. He had dessert every night. She cooked that for him, but she never did. The only time I ever see anything that was out of the ordinary, at Christmas time, she might have a slice of pie, and that's it. She was very cognizant of what her body could do and could not do. She was born a one diabetic, by the way. So I just remember seeing her every morning for as long as I lived at home. She kept her needle thing on the kitchen table and her medicine in the refrigerator, and she gave herself a shot every day. And live by what she's supposed to, you know, reading her Bible. And she used to say, you can't serve the Lord if you can't help yourself.
Amen.
So I remember when she died, she just laid down one day, took a nap, and just didn't wake up.
Wow.
I think it's very important that we do keep ourselves healthy. I mean, and as a black people, we have sometimes have more health problems than other people do, with a lot of breast cancer, prostate cancer, you know. So we just need to do what we paid the doctors money to give us advice, and then we don't. So my mother taught me that whatever the doctor tells you to do, do it.
Wow. And speaking of fasting, what are we to be praying? What should we be praying for during this time?
There's so many things we can pray for. First of all, we have to pray for ourselves to be strength and strong in the Lord. We have to know about where our hearts are. And that's when just getting to know Jesus better and to be more like him. You have to know who you are and who you serve. We know who we are, but we got to know who we're serving. And keep that in mind all the time. And sometimes it gets hard. But at the end of the day, I praise the Lord because he let me live another day. He woke me this morning. And it's hard. I won't say it's easy. But there are just things that we must do to help mankind. Because that's who Jesus is. He's out there, you know, we're here because of him. He's given us life because of him. So we have to do the same, you know. Some people just are not as lucky to even to be able to come through a church door. And we're blessed that way. We're blessed to wake up in the morning, get in our cars, put on clothes that Jesus has provided, and get us to his house. So it's very important that we do those things and take care of those people that we run across. And I know it's hard. It is so hard to come to church and somebody has defaced the church building. It's very hard. But then you have to get past it. As long as you got soap and water and bleach, that's what we got to do. We just going to have to clean it. You know? And it's hard. But you know what? It's gotten to the point, I'd rather be here doing that than be dead.
Oh, boy.
I'd rather be doing God's work than be dead.
Hey.
And, you know, and I know it's coming. I got more years behind me than I got in front of me. So I know that what I got left, I'm going to be doing what he wants me to do, and that's serving his people regardless how hard it is. And it's hard. But, you know, I just keep thinking, when I'm doing this, like cleaning the front Friday morning, God is looking down on us. He's looking at everything we do. whether it's good or bad. But when my time comes, I want to be able to say that I did what he asked me to do. I did what he wanted me to do. And it wasn't about Arnetta Carpenter. It was about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And that's what we have to remember. And I'm constantly telling myself, it ain't about you. In fact, we sing the song, it's not about us. It's about Jesus.
Amen. 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 I have one last question, and then I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer.
Okay.
What services have been scheduled for Holy Week?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Best time of the year. April 3rd through the 5th, we are having our revival, and I can't hardly wait.
Wow.
Because we all need to be revived, relieved, and, you know, just start all over. He gives us a chance all the time. And we're going to have Dr. Andrea King, who used to be the minister at 16th Street. She now works for a company. You know, she's not doing the ministry, but she is a minister, so you know she's got the heart of Jesus. And we also have, she's going to be the expositor. And then we have Bishop Dante Hickman Sr., I understand, from Baltimore. I cannot wait to hear him. Because we've never heard him before, but I just know we're going to be renewed. I mean, I love the spring because I know it brings a new life. You know, it rejuvenates it, renews it, gives us strength in, to go on and do what God wants us to do. And I like hearing from other ministers because sometimes, you know, they have a insight that we don't. They, you know, Andre King is in Riverside. Bishop Hickman is coming out of Baltimore, I believe, where I used to live. And I'm just excited. And then that's for the revival. And then we have the words going into Calvary. All the things that happened on the way to, you know, on the way to Calvary. And it's just, I'm just excited. Dr. Owens has made it not only a good thing to do, but he's made it fun. And you can, when you can do things like that and still be fun and laugh, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we've got people that are sick and dying. We've lost members here in the church recently, and I'm telling you, it's a renewal. It's a renewal that all of us need to have all the time. But I'm glad that Pastor makes sure that we do have this every year. Because it does. It gives me a new outlook on what is happening in the world. Whether it be good or bad, I know that I can still thank him for all the things that he has done, not only for me and my family, but for those that have not been able to do the things that they wish they could do. But God is good all the time. All the time he is good. And I just want to, you know, I could get up some and run through the doggone sanctuary.
Ain't that something?
Shouting hallelujah because he's been so good. He's even saved me. I had cancer. I got rid of that, you know, and that was for the Lord. That was just because of the Lord. Because you're talking about one sick individual, I was a sick lady and didn't even know it. So I know what God will do. He will take care of all of us if we do the things that he asked us to do, be faithful to him. Because what he did, when he put it, God let his son be on that cross, I tell you, it's more than I can handle sometimes. You know, what he did for us, that he did not deserve. We all deserve to go through what he went through, but he did it for us. So I get excited. I get excited, and I love the Lord, and I don't care who knows it. I'm not ashamed to testify. I'm not ashamed of the things that I've gone through because it's because of Jesus Christ, the Christ.
Amen. I can feel your energy, and I'm 2,500 miles away. I'm sure. And it's emanating through the airwaves. And so that testimony right there. Oh my, I thought I'd gone back to church here again. Oh my goodness. Thank you. Oh wow. And you know, revival is always fun back there. You know, what came to mind while you were talking and preaching there, you were preaching just now. I said, that's spiritual spring cleaning. That revival is spring cleaning. Right?
Spring cleaning. You're right. Oh, how I miss you, Brother Brown. Oh, I miss you.
All right.
So that's all right. That's all right.
Well, hopefully I'll get a chance to come back and visit. Well, I won't be visiting, though. I'm still a member of New Hope.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I have a council membership. Absolutely not. Won't do it. Can't do it. Okay. I just happen to be a little way too far to walk, but, you know, and I'm not going to try. Anyway, okay. Reverend Arnett, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Oh, and would you please grace us with the closing prayer?
I surely will. Okay. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would have everlasting life. Almighty and merciful God, Lord, we come to you today, first of all, thanking you for another day to lift your holy name. You know, Lord, in countless ways, you have shown that you love us, but we have not loved you nearly enough in return. Lord, you called, and we did not answer. You talked, and we didn't listen. We walked away from our neighbors in need, wrapped up in our own concerns. But, Father, I want to ask you to continue to show us that nothing is so important that we cannot take the time to share your word. I want to thank Dr. Owens for sharing the word that he did today. I can't thank him enough, but I thank you, God, because you have given him the wisdom and the know-how to put one foot in front of the other and keep it moving. We have gone along, Lord, with things that were not good, with evil, with prejudice, with warfare and greed. But please, Lord, help us to face ourselves so that you can move toward us in mercy, that we may repent, that we may turn to you, stay with you, and receive your forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Folks, and check out Hope is Alive, like I said earlier, each and every Sunday. It starts at noon on the West Coast, 3 p.m. on the East. And please go to the website, leave a comment about this show, or this program, rather. It's not a show, this program. And leave a comment. Let us know what you think. And in case you missed it, or you want to hear part of it, or share it with a friend, just go to the website. It will be under Archives, and that is Hope is Alive. Just click on Hope is Alive, or type in Hope is Alive, and it's right there. And thank you so much, Reverend Arnetta. Thank you so much, Dr. Owens, and I will see you.
Thank you, darling, for having me. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. We'll talk soon, all right?
Okay, all right.
All right, my dear friend. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day yourself. Thank you.
Okay.
Amen, amen, amen. This has been Hope is Alive right here on the Buzz Network, Studio WBuzz.com.
Concentrate on you. Oh, it causes peace. Peace. My mind. keeping me. Thank you for holding me. Can I get a witness in the place today? Come on, play it, friend. I get joy.
That's all you gotta say. Somebody getting delivered. I see somebody getting blessed. I see somebody getting a breakthrough.
Tried it. Do you have a report? Ain't he all right?
Ain't he all right?